War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
So both the subtext and sometimes the text here, of course, is that people who are in this plot allegedly have claimed essentially they were entrapped, that the sort of FBI agents crawling all over them, pushing them to do things they wouldn't have otherwise done. This was kind of like idle chatter, that it was the informants, the one pushing it forward. And of course, there's some precedent for this in a lot of war on terror cases, ones I've covered. There's infamously a guy who had someone ask him to sell him a service to air missile, and then someone offered to sell him a service to air missile, and both of those people were FBI informants, and then he ended up being prosecuted by Chris Christie, actually, when he was U.S. attorney. So what I learned from your story was it didn't seem that egregious at all, but it does seem like it's a complicated question of what side is on what of the line between good policing and entrapment.
I think that's a really good question. And, you know, I think that certainly some of the stuff that happened in the war on terror, you know, can make you go, wait a minute, right? I think this one is really interesting because it's very nuanced. I mean, you know, the idea of being angry at Gretchen Whitmer and the idea of, you know, going to the Capitol with guns, those were ideas that the FBI did not plant those ideas in the minds of these people. They were actively engaged in and actively talking about a lot of stuff that, you know, is, I think, most people would consider like quite horrifying and shocking. I think as a general rule, often if the evidence against you, in this case, it's like 400,000 text messages, hundreds of hours of wiretaps, you know, I'm not sure there are many other defenses available besides entrapment because there's a lot of evidence. That said, I think that, you know, for someone who doesn't, you know, follow these cases and these kinds of cases closely, you know, the role of the FBI in helping to, you know, really work with these people, befriend these people, text these people at all hours of the day and night, be with them all the time is quite huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And the question that sort of lingers over your reporting, which again, everyone should check out, is like, but for those informants, does this plot come together? But then again, but for those informants, do you not catch people who would have done something really, really, really grisly without it? So it's a great piece of reporting. Jessica Garrison, thank you so much for making time tonight.
Okay. Friday, the 23rd of July, the year of our Lord, 2021, you're in the War Room, packed show today. We had D. Hackett on yesterday, and I was a little surprised. Of the audience reaction was overwhelming. And then people who I trust their judgment watched the show later, and then overnight they weighed in. And obviously our focus on 3 November and Wuhan Lab and geopolitics and CCP and all the other things that we're getting bottom to. The 6th January, as we said, we're picking this up as a major thread. It is shocking the lack of understanding and knowledge out there about even the events around everything that happened, and particularly what's happened to the political prisoners since then. And so we're going to get to the bottom of it, okay? Not just to the bottom of it. We're going to make sure that there are apparatuses set up there that people are treated humanely and treated like American citizens and treated like veterans. So today we're going to kick this off. We kicked it off the last couple of days, but I want to go back to the beginning. We've got a doubleheader, and I think it's the first time they've ever been back-to-back in a program. We've got Darren Beattie, from Revolver.News, who kind of broke this and has led this. And then we've got Julie Kelly from American Greatness, who's just done incredible reporting on this in the details of every case and what's going on day in and day out, back to back here. And then we're going to have Cynthia, a woman who's helping to be a family advocate. And the stories she will tell you are horrific. We're going to do all that. Eddie Gallagher, the Navy SEAL Chief Petty Officer, is going to come in about the purge of our military of patriots. So we're not going to stand for this. Let me just be brutally frank. This is not going to stand, okay? If people broke the law and they did certain things, hey, obviously we're law and order. You've got to have the rule of law. But that is not totally what's going on here. And this role of the FBI, you saw even Chris Hayes last night. And by the way, the BuzzFeed piece, and we're going to put it up in the live chat. You've got to read it. Garrison, the reporter, has done an amazing job. It's a very detailed. Remember, BuzzFeed is no pro-Trump site. Chris Hayes, you can tell the conflicts right there. But I want to bring in really the smartest guy in the room about this, and somebody that's been on this from day one and actually told us everything that's going to happen here, and that is Darren Beattie of Revolver.News. So, Darren, I want you first to respond to the Chris Hayes part of it, but then get into to the theory of the case and what they're trying to do about Michigan, why Michigan's so important about 6 January and how they're trying to frame the Michigan situation now. So go ahead.
Right. So as your viewers know by now, Revolver.News was the first outlet to really address the so-called Michigan kidnapping plot, storming the Capitol plot, in light of 1-6. And now we see with this BuzzFeed report and other report in Detroit Free Press, they're adding to Revolver News's reporting in the sense of giving more color, more detail in relation to the Fed's infiltration operation of the Michigan plot specifically. Whereas Revolver initially reported that we know 5 out of the 18 plotters were feds in some capacity, now we know it's 12 out of 18. So I do applaud BuzzFeed and Chris Hayes and really everyone who's following our lead and drawing attention to this. But I think it's very important not to lose sight of the original context. The original context is not to consider the Michigan plot in isolation. The context was using the known federal infiltration in the Michigan plot, which involved the same idea, storming the Capitol, the same militia groups and so forth, use that to reinforce our intuition about 1-6, which occurred just months later with many, many different similarities. And so I think one problem, as good as the reporting is from BuzzFeed, one problem is I see it, having read it very closely, having watched the Christopher Hayes segment, they're doing damage control in the sense that they're going out of their way to prevent people from making that connection. Are we supposed to believe that the Michigan plot was infiltrated, 12 out of the 18 people were feds, it was the same idea storming the Capitol, it was the same militia groups, and yet on 1-6, they were just completely caught flat-footed, that the U.S. Capitol just had uniquely poor security that day? And there's one other very important related point, which has to do with this question of entrapment. I think the BuzzFeed piece makes it very clear that they take the entrapment charge very seriously. And I think the author kind of downplayed that a little bit on the Chris Hayes show. But what's important in relation to 1-6 is we don't even need entrapment. We simply need foreknowledge, because the official story is they were caught completely off guard. If they had foreknowledge, that's sufficient to show that this is a complete hoax. Because if they had foreknowledge, the question is, why didn't they stop it they did with the Michigan kidnapping plot? Why would they have simply let it happen?
Okay, hang on 1 second. This is the important, this is about the war room, what we do. This is about nomenclature, the statics and dynamics of process, critical path, all of it, just like we did in Wuhan in 3 November. And this is why we got to set this at the beginning. And that's why the analogy I keep making, Michigan to 1-6 is the bloody Kansas to the Civil War. It's the same exact thing, except at a different scale. Okay, and I want to go back to your nomenclature about, because they're trying to position us as an intelligence failure. What Darren Beatty's theory of the case is, this was an intelligence operation. Totally different, correct? I just want to make sure we get, okay, so go back and redo that thesis again. Very important for the audience. Everybody at home, understand this. This is going to resonate now all the way through, not just 2022, but to get to the bottom of this is going to be, look, we're going to have a better opportunity. I'm the guy that's been on this Wuhan thing from the beginning. We're going to have a better opportunity. You can see the shifting to get to the bottom of Wuhan lab in 3 November because it's shifting there. This, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be the gnarliest, the toughest, and the nastiest, because you're going up against the apparatus full on, and they ain't going to back off one inch, not one inch. I want to go back. They're positioning this as an intelligence failure, correct? That's what this whole commission is going to be. It's an intelligence failure. You're saying it's an intelligence operation. Tell us the difference.
Well, an intelligence failure, which is their current representation. So the Revolver News story that really blew all of this up, that shook the nation, that got the mainstream media more apoplectic and enraged than we've seen them in a long time, it began with an interrogation of FBI Director Christopher Wray by Senator Amy Klobuchar. And Klobuchar begs the question by saying, you know, FBI Director, don't you just kick yourself that you just had no idea all this stuff would happen on 1-6? Don't you wish you had informants in place? Don't you wish you just knew what was going on? And he basically says, yeah, I know, it's tough luck, but we just got caught flat-footed here. That's the official story. And my point is, in light of what's happened in Michigan, that we know that this was just months prior involving the same groups, involving the same plot that was infiltrated up 12 out of the 18 people, we're supposed to believe that there was no infiltration 1-6. We make a very thorough case that there was beyond simply this point. You can go to revolver.news to look at it. But the idea that there was no infiltration beggars belief. And unlike the case of Michigan, we don't even need the issue of entrapment in 1-6. All we need is that they had informants in place who knew what was going on, and they simply stood back and let it happen in order to engineer this false narrative of this domestic terror attack that they're using not only to unjustly imprison all of these people about 1-6, but they're using it to designate you, Steve, me, and over 70 million Americans who are pro-Trump as domestic terrorists.
Yeah, we're going to get into all that. I want to go back to the difference in these intelligence operations. It's like the students that come over here from China that the CCP have to sign off on, of which Marjorie Taylor Greene was saying, hey, we're Jack, they have to sign this agreement that they'll basically, you know, provide information, many of them, right? That makes you an intelligence asset, a potential intelligence asset. It's different than being an intelligence operative. The country's swimming with CCP that are intelligence operative. Your story, I want to go back to this. We've got a couple minutes. It's not just about informants. It's about people that are more than informants, people that are actually operatives. And let's be blunt. You singled out the head of the Oath Keepers, and it called in a lot of questions. Look, the guy we had on yesterday, the wife, I think he was an Oath Keepers guy. He was like some medic or something. He was in there for 6 or 8 minutes, and you know he's now been in general lockup in D.C. for 6 months now. Is any of the coming off of your, and we're going to hold you over for these next couple of segments, Darren, as we bring another guest. Is the Oath Keepers, is anything, is that guy been charged? You identified this, and to me, as you read it and see the follow-up, he very much seems like a potential actual operative, which is different than just a whistleblower or different than just an informant. Darren Beatty.
Right, and I don't know whether he's an actual agent, informant, or that. What I do suspect is that he's being protected from prosecution for some reason. Because if you look at the charging documents of other Oath Keepers, they're basically charging them for a conspiracy, and the government's own documents constitute that conspiracy on the basis of statements made by person one, which we now know to be the head of the Oath Keepers. And there are real questions there that have not been answered to any degree of satisfaction. I believe that the head of the Oath Keepers' explanation for why he hasn't been charged is that he wasn't in the Capitol. But we know that that is not, it's not necessary to have been in the Capitol or even to have trespassed past the barricades to be hit with the conspiracy charge. The government's made that very clear, and there have been people indicted who we know have not gone in the Capitol. And just the Tucker segment last night, the DEA agent is being charged. He didn't go into the Capitol. So it's not an adequate explanation. I encourage your viewers to go read the full piece about the Oath Keepers. Yeah. It's extremely extensive.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
Great.
War Room. Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, you're in the War Room, Friday, 23 January, year of the Lord, 2021. Almost 70 million downloads live everywhere. I want to thank the Real America's Voice team, particularly folks in Denver that help us put this show on John Frederick's Radio Network. Also in Mandarin, GNews and GTV, blown through the firewall to support Lao Beijing, the deplorables of China that are fighting for their freedom against the transnational criminal organization that is the Chinese Communist Party. Okay, Mike Lindell is going to be on later to talk about Sioux Falls, the symposium the cyber symposium. By the way, somebody told me there's some marketing guy was sitting there going, oh, because the deplorables are the big audience for Mike Lindell, you can't use symposium. It's too fancy a term. I said, dude, come on, man. Get out of here. The deplorables are ahead of the curve on everything. I said, are you serious? You think using symposium isn't going to, oh, no, it's too esoteric. People don't know it. They think it's too much information or too, you know, too highfalutin. People do not understand the wisdom and common sense and ability to absorb knowledge and to make your own decisions. That's what the War Room is about. We try to set kind of make sure that there's a context that you can then get information, have that, whether it's nomenclature, you understand the aesthetics and dynamics of process, critical path, all of it. That's what we either, it's the Wuhan lab, the CCP virus, the pandemic, or if it's 3 November, this is a new line of inquiry, new line of country, right? We're going to fight along this. What would Grant say? We're going to fight along this line if it takes all summer. Well, it's going to take longer than the summer, but this is absolutely important. This nation struggled with this for many, many decades, and people said, should we be an empire? Didn't our founders warn us about this? The struggles in the 60s, the whole church commission, what the CIA was doing, what the FBI was doing. At that time, the roles were reversed. The New York Times and the Washington Post and all those guys were on the other side. Now it's Revolver. It's Julie Kelly at American Greatness. It's the War Room. We've kind of gone. That's what the conflict you saw with Chris Hayes last night, right? We're now on the other side of the table. You've got this national security. Look, I'm a veteran. Love the military, particularly love the Navy, right? My daughter's a West Point grad. We're from a family of veterans. But something's deeply wrong. Something's deeply wrong, and we got to get to the bottom of it. And do not think that this is going to be an easy one. Okay, this is, you get, look at the Brennan, look at the evil faces you got on the Comey, Brennan, all of that crowd, Clapper. Okay, this is going to be quite difficult, but it's going to get done because it's got to get done. If we don't win this one, you're going to lose this republic. And Eddie Gallagher is going to be on here, the Navy Chief Petty Officer, to tell you about what's happening in the military right now. Okay, I want to go to. Make sure you go to MyPillow.com, support the fight for freedom in the apparatus. Lindell's going to be on later. Go to promo code War Room Towels. This towel deal is only going to last a couple more days of the weekend. $109 for six of these great towels, $39.99. Plus, you got the Giza sheets, you got the pillows, you've got the toppers. Okay, you got the 2-inch topper. These sales are not going to, I know it's summer, everybody's at the beach doing other things, but not the War Room audience. You're on point. Go to MyPillow.com today, promo code War Room. We got it on square up there right next to the great Sean Hannity. I want to go now to, by the way, up on the top of Revolver. Everybody go to Revolver, put it in the live chat. All the different chat rooms, we got a half a dozen of them. I want everybody on Revolver. Got major stories up there right now about all this, and particularly the informant program. I want to bring in now a warrior who's been at the tip of the spear over to American Greatness. And I can't say enough good things about Buskirk and American Greatness. It's kind of the one of the thought leaders of this entire movement. But he's got Julie Kelly, who's just a beast on the reporting of this. She's been on this from day one. Julie, thank you. Welcome into the War Room. Here's a question, Julie. Walk us back. You've been on this, and you know more details than anybody. I think what our audience yesterday was shocked at is the scale of this, how big this is, how many people are under arrest, what's happened to them. So you can just step back and walk us through your reporting from the beginning of what exactly happened here and how big this deal is.
Well, thank you, Steve, for having me on and for those compliments, especially for American Greatness, because they have been very bold in publishing all of my reporting, because a lot of outlets on the right have not been as courageous. So I want to give a shout out to Chris Westkirk and American Greatness. But what happened was the Justice Department, the FBI, started arresting people on January 7th. On January 8th, they convened a grand jury in Washington, D.C. On January 12th, Michael Sherwin, who is the acting director of the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, which is the office that is handling every single one of these cases, which means doom, of course, for all of these defendants, had a press conference, said this would be the most sweeping, unprecedented investigation in Justice Department history. He was there with the acting field office, D.C. field office director, who Darren Beatty has spoken about, who is also in on the Whitmer kidnapping plot. And basically, Michael Sherwin said, we are going to take misdemeanor cases and we're going to build those into sedition cases. Now, here we are more than six months past that. There aren't any sedition cases, but it doesn't matter, because what they're doing is they are taking misdemeanor cases. They're adding a felony called obstruction of an official proceeding up to about 200 cases. That is the felony that is, that they're using to force these people into plea arrangements. So these people will be convicted felons. But what's more terrifying, Steve, is there this FBI is unleashing a terror campaign across this country. Every single field office, 56 field offices, are involved in this. They are banging down the doors of people's homes at pre-dawn raids, guns drawn, dozens of agents arresting people in front of their children, humiliating them in their neighborhood, in some cases dragging them to this secret DC jail that's been set aside only for capital defendants, where they now have languished in mostly solitary confinement conditions for months on end under pretrial detention orders asked for by this Justice Department and signed off on by federal judges in Washington, D.C.
This occurred under, I just want to make sure everybody understands this. It was President Trump was still president when this stuff started, right? I think right. Barr had resigned, but this was his Justice yeah. Department. This is Chris Wray and his FBI. Am I correct in this?
Yes, you are correct.
Was he informed?
So I believe the acting AG was Jeffrey Rosen at the time.
Jeffrey Rosen, right. Do we have any idea, is President Trump, did he know at the time any of the details of this? Or any of your reporting show that he knew any of this was going on, or the people around him knew anything that was going on that kicked this thing off, particularly Sherwin's press? I remember the press conference, Sherwin's press conference, where he said, hey, we're going to start rolling these things up and to be basically conspiracy charges or sedition charges.
That's right. So they had to have known in the White House because Michael Sherwin hosted this press conference. So someone had to have known. You'll also remember, Steve, that Michael Sherwin is the one who bragged in a 60 Minutes interview in March that basically the first 100 arrests or so was part of a shock and awe campaign to deter people, intimidate them out of coming to Washington, D.C. on January 20th. This is exactly what Michael Sherwin said. So the first 100 people who were arrested, dragged out of their homes, subjected to these FBI raids, dragged all over the country to different prisons before they got to Washington, D.C. This was a political move, and Michael Sherwin admitted it. It was not to keep the community safe. It was not to punish people who did things wrong on January 6th. It was to show Americans, if you protest or you question this presidency or last year's election, you are going to pay. And do not dare come to this Capitol on January 20th to protest the Biden regime. Otherwise, you will be rounded up, arrested, charged with ridiculous charges, have your lives destroyed, your businesses destroyed, reputation destroyed. And so that is basically what started then. And I'm telling you, it's still going on more than 6 months later. They're still arresting people, including college students, for their involvement in January 6th. So it is a terror campaign, pure and simple.
I just want to contextualize this, that when we won in 16 and had the inauguration in 17, you couldn't even get around the streets. It was like an armed thing because Antifa and these radical elements had essentially tried to shut the city down. I mean, they terrorized people when they went to the inaugural events. I only went to the inauguration. I was working, so I didn't go to any of the balls or the black tie dinners, but people couldn't even get to these things. They were terrorized. They were spit upon. The city was essentially out of control, right, and had to be kind of they didn't even try to really suppress it. They just let the radical elements come here when President Trump came here. Now, you're not arguing, when you say terror campaign against these people, you're not arguing that they're not people that actually broke the law or did things that were not acceptable on January 6th, correct? Or are you saying that, hey, everybody's innocent? When you say terror campaign, be specific about that.
Well, I mean, we still do have rule of law and due process. These people are supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. That's not what is happening here. They are presumed guilty until proven innocent by this justice system in Washington, D.C. Of course, people did things wrong. We know that people vandalized parts of the building. Remember, Steve, we were first told there were $30 million in damages. But the Justice Department now has to admit there's only about $1.5 million in damages. So they're seeking restitution from these people. But when you I have a piece up today at American Greatness, a man who was charged with four misdemeanors pleaded guilty to parading or picketing in Congress, which I thought, you know, was like a birthright. We were okay to do that. It's a public building. We pay for everybody who works there. It was during the day. But he spent 6 months in this D.C. lockup only to end up pleading guilty to one minor offense of parading or picketing in Congress. Now, should those people be charged? Of course not. Should they spend time in jail before they either plead or their trials begin, which they won't begin until the middle of next year? Of course not. So, yes, we know that there were people who did things wrong. Only about 100
Julie, can you
people.
Hang...
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Go
sorry.
Ahead. I'm sorry.
Only about 100 people.
We're going to take a break.
Okay.
Just hang on. We're going to take a break. I'm going to bring you back. Real quickly, they're arguing that these people are dangerous. That's why they're keeping in these people that are trying to basically have a protest. They're saying they're dangerous. That's where they're keeping them in.
Right, because you have to prove, say, they're either a danger to the community or they're a flight risk. They're a danger, okay. Prosecutors say, because they protested on January 6th.
Got it. Okay, short commercial break. We'll be back with Darren and Julie Kelly. Also, Cynthia, Chief Eddie Gallagher, also next. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP. Okay, we think the American people are adults and can handle information and make their own decisions. This is what free men and women do. Tomorrow, we're going to have the Dirty Dozen, the 12 most dangerous people in America, according to the Surgeon General and the White House. These are the people on this list of putting out all this misinformation. We're going to frame it. We're going to have people that are pro-vaccination, pro-vaccine on, or people spent their life, like Dr. Malone, Naomi Wolf, Stephen Hatfield, to frame this. But we're going to have Dr. McCullough, many of the people on that list, and have them walk through what their evidence is, what their facts are, what their data is. And people can make up their own mind. We're going to have people on here. It's not going to be an anti-vax special. It's going to actually frame this with people who spent their careers working in the area of vaccines and then have this discussion about exactly what's going on. We're going to have Sheriff Wayburn on later in the show. One of the things we're going to talk about, the explosion of the Delta variant, right, the Indian from India, the part of this, all throughout the southern border, exploding all around the country. Nobody's talking about the part of the invasion of this country. Open borders, down the borders, put forward by Biden. By the way, his that town hall that had 20% full yesterday, the other day, lowest ratings, beaten by MSNBC's regular program, Fox's regular program. This is a joke. That guy got 81 million votes. You expect me to believe that? Not only did Trump won, did Trump win? He won in a landslide. And this is not to own the libs. Any of that kind of cute stuff, owning the libs, this is dead serious, okay? Mm-hmm. Trump won. We're going to prove it state by state. You need a 50-state complete forensic audit of all of it, not just the battleground states. Okay, I want to return. Let's go on the 6th January. Darren Beatty, you heard Julie. Give us your summary for a couple of minutes. I got to go back to Julie Kelly. Tell us what you think so far.
Well, Julie Kelly, as always, is great, and her reporting has been excellent on this. I think between Revolver News and Julie Kelly on 1-6, you know, people are covered. And what she said is correct. That these political prisoners are being held in unjust circumstances. Michael Sherwin applied this shock and awe standard of prosecution, which is another reason why I think it's bizarre that the head of the major militia group imputed to the whole thing hasn't been indicted after now like over 6 months. If your listeners want the full account of that, go to revolver.news. We have some incredible pieces up there, including providing the history of the informant process. People don't know it, but this goes back a long time. In fact, the bomb from the first World Trade Center bombing was actually made by an informant. This goes back a long way. It's nothing new. And I think the really important, like, bird's eye level point to make on this is that narratives matter and focus matters. The one place that the whole machine does not want us to direct our focus is on the question of federal foreknowledge and involvement in 1-6. Everything else is safe to them. They do not want us pursuing that question. And that's precisely why we're not going to let go.
Okay. Hang on. That's the theory of the case. Repeat that word for word, will you please, sir? Because this is what we're going to... You think we got... We shifted the public opinion and world opinion on Wuhan, this show, and the hammering over a year. We're doing it now on 3 November. It's going to get even bigger. We're going to do it on this. Walk me through again. Just repeat what you just said, because this is the heart of the matter.
You're a pro on this, and you know this better than anyone else. Narratives matter, and people are very, very easily distracted by just subtle differences. They do not want the American people to focus laser-like on the very simple question, was 1-6 an intelligence failure, like the FBI director says it is, or was it an intelligence operation? What is the extent of federal foreknowledge and federal involvement in 1-6? That's why they went crazy after the first Revolver news piece in the Tucker segment, and they will continue to go crazy. And that's why you're seeing even the BuzzFeed reporters doing everything they can to build a biodome around Michigan to say, don't ask what Michigan implies in relation to 1-6.
Hermetically sealed. Julie Kelly, tell us, this is the first I know of many, many times you're going to be on the show. Tell us where your reporting is going on this topic.
So, and my compliments back to Darren too. I mean, he is the one who really launched this first questioning skepticism about the FBI's involvement in the case and the Oath Keeper. So he's done tremendous work on this. I'm just going to continue to, first of all, tell people about the detainees who have been languishing in this jail for months, what's happening to them, what they're being charged with, how they're really being tortured by our government. And I don't use that word lightly, what's happening to their families. I'm also going to continue to cover the cases. There was a case today, a hearing today with Beryl Howell, who is the chief judge of the DC District Court, for a family of five in Texas who were arrested a few weeks ago, charged again with four or five misdemeanors. They need a public defender. They have a public government defender. You might remember this woman who put her client through sort of a re-education camp, forced them to read books and watch movies that talk about how horrible America is and our systemic racism. So this poor family is going to be subjected to that. So I'm just going to be continuing to cover the hearings, what's happening to these people under pretrial detention motions, obviously what's going to happen in the commission, and more importantly, Steve, where our Republican leadership is on this, why they are not speaking out more. We're starting to hear some House members who are questioning what's happening in the jail and this investigation. We need a lot more voices on this.
Yeah. I think you're going to, by the way, I'm on this guy all the time, but I think Leader McCarthy, I think by punching out of the Nancy Pelosi, look, he should have taken the first deal, but the word I'm getting is that Pelosi would have been able to pick who the actual Republicans are. By having an independent investigation, Leader McCarthy can really separate himself from the pack here by having a true investigation and having people like Julie Kelly and Darren Beatty and others either on that or major parts of getting to the bottom of it. And I think that's going to be a huge role for you. I think Leader McCarthy's made a smart decision. Let's have our own investigation. I think it also expand when the receipts start coming forward in Arizona, in Georgia, about what happened on 3 November. But for the 6th January, you got to get Beatty. You got to get Julie Kelly. Julie, what's your Twitter? What's your social media? How do people follow you? We're going to put it in the live chat and all the forums following us and make sure that we cover you and have you back on. So how do people follow you right now?
My reporting is at American Greatness, which is amgreatness.com, and my Twitter handle is Julie_Kelly2. So as I'm listening to these hearings, a lot of time I'll live tweet about what's happening in court, but that's where you can find me most of the day.
Thank you. Fabulous work. You're a patriot and a hero. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been great. Amazing. Chris Buskirk and the guys at American Greatness, kudos. Great, great. Great site. Everybody's got to go there. Make sure it's on your daily diet. Darren, hang on. I want to bring in now Cynthia. Cynthia, we're not using your last name and we're not showing you a picture because you want anonymity, at least currently. Walk us through. We only got about 5 minutes here. Walk us through what's happening with these families, what you're trying to do as a family advocate.
Thank you for having me on, Steve, by the way. So the families are the ones who are suffering the most. I mean, the men, yes, they're suffering, but there are wives out here with their children struggling to pay their bills, keep their heads afloat. These men have very bad attorneys, very biased attorneys. We're trying to put together a legal defense fund. There was a big meeting yesterday with the Defending the Republic and Sidney Powell. A bunch of lawyers are going to get together. There's going to be a massive filing this coming week. These families need protection. They need help. They need guidance. They need resources. They need financial support. We need more voices, just like Julie said. These men are already guilty. They have to prove their innocence. You know, they're already being tried in the court of public opinion before even going to trial. And just as everybody else has said, this is really about Donald J. Trump. He is the one that's on trial here. And these guys are just collateral damage. I've set up a text alert system, and you can get updates. You can text J6P3 to 74121. We can give updates on where you can donate financial support, how we can keep you updated on the cases, the trials, what's happening with Sidney Powell. She is on board. She is really, really, really going to get behind this. We have a ton of lawyers that are going to step up and do some filings pro bono, and we need more. We need many more. These women are suffering. They are seriously in, you know, in peril almost. We have women that are getting evicted, can't pay, you know, their mortgage, going into foreclosure, people that have to give away their family pets, you know, because they have to choose between feeding their dog or feeding their children. These men, they need to be out here. Sitting in this jail in pretrial detention this way for misdemeanor charges is it's unjust, and it's affecting little children, these little babies, these women that are down to one incomes in their home. They need good legal representation. There are great public defenders, but some are not. And these men need really good representation. Please, I ask everybody to donate to Defending the Republic so we can bring more attorneys on board. I ask everybody to please get on the text alert system to text J6P3 to 74121 so we can keep you updated. I think I gave your producer a link to a Give, Send, Go account that we've set up. Yep. If you could please, you know, tell your listeners, we need donations. These women, they need to pay their bills. They need to send their children back to school. They need sneakers. They need school supplies. We have the holiday season coming up. They need our help. We need attention, Steve. Please.
Okay, we're going to get on top of this, and we will talk to you after this show. Cynthia, we'll get this up in the live chat, and we'll obviously talk to Sydney and the rest of the crew. Okay, fantastic. Great work. Thank you for making everybody alert on this, and thank you for volunteering and stepping up and taking it. I know it was one of your relatives that got rolled up in this, and that's why you stepped up. It's just fantastic, and you're a great hero. So let us, we're going to get back to this. We'll talk to you later. Thank you, Cynthia. Fantastic report. Darren, before I'll get to Chief Gallagher, we get Chief Gallagher in the next segment. We're rolling a little late here, but this is important, as you can tell. Darren, give us your summary. You got Cynthia there. There were people trying to get organized 6 months into this. The word hasn't really gotten out. That's one of the reasons it's a little disorganized. What's your assessment of Cynthia and the families?
Well, I think it's a disaster. It's a humanitarian disaster, and if this exact same thing were happening in a country that our national security state doesn't like, we would probably target it for regime change or some kind of color revolution. It's unconscionable that it's happening in our country. And frankly, I think it's about time that the GOP politicians stop being the most worthless creatures on the planet and give this the attention it deserves. I think I speak for many Americans when I say, I don't want to hear about Cuba. I don't want to hear about Ben and Jerry's. I want to hear about the abuses going on in our country, because I don't want this country to be Cuba or China or any of these other authoritarian countries. It's happening right here, and people need to address it. And frankly, I think that includes former President Trump. I think he needs to show leadership on this. He sent out a message regarding Ashley Babbitt, which I commend him for. But there's a lot more to do, and I think it would be tremendous encouragement for him to put out a message in support of these political prisoners, put out a message demanding that Christopher Wray answer the important questions that Revolver.News raises regarding possibility of federal foreknowledge and involvement in 1-6. President Trump is a leader. He needs to take leadership on this issue, just like every other GOP politician who wants to be taken seriously.
Yeah. Okay. Look, he's a leader, and he's taking leadership, so we'll get this thing figured out. You hang around. Short commercial break. Chief Petty Officer Gallagher about the purge in the military. Next in the war room.
because we're taking down the CCP. Spread the word all through Hong Kong. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP.
War Room Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, we're back in the war room. I want everybody today to go to MyPillow.com, promo code War Room. These towels are not going to be $109 down to $39.99. Make sure you do it. 50% off the toppers, 2-for-1 Giza sheets, and the pillows with the Bible stories on it, $19.99 each. 5 of them, you get to do the pass down the oral history of the Bible by telling the stories here. Make sure you go to all that. But the towels sale is not going to last. Go to promo code War Room at MyPillow.com. We've got a square up there right next to Great Sean Hannity. Want to bring in Senior Chief Petty Officer Eddie Gallagher. The book is The Man in the Arena, about his efforts, his patriotism, his service for our country, and the trials and tribulation he had to go to, and Donald J. Trump helped him out at the end. Chief, you heard about this 1-6. Talk to us about the military, our beloved service. What's going on right now? Sounds like a purge. You've got this 1-6 situation that we've got these political prisoners. We're going to have to get to the bottom of all that. What's happening in our beloved military right now?
So, of course, you know, leave it to this administration to take a tragedy like January 6th and turn it into an opportunity. I had a buddy who's active duty over at my house about 2 months ago, and he informed me that he was in the room with the investigatory body, NCIS, and there's also CID and OSI, so they're going through all the branches, and they're doing this thing called scraping, which is they are going through operators' social media accounts, and they are flagging terms such as "don't tread on me," if they were a Trump supporter, if they back the police, they are labeling them extremists and putting them into a group. This is not something that they are trying to hide. Otherwise, they would have had somebody else besides NCIS, OSI, or CID do it. They want the people in the military to know that they are doing this to silence them, to silence their support for the conservative vote, whether it be Donald Trump or whoever else is going to run next. This is probably one of the most un-American things I've ever seen. You know, I've known that the military is used as a social experiment, but this is definitely way out of bounds of what they should be able to do. They're violating all sorts of rights for our service members right now. And at the same time,
Before we get to the woke agenda, real quickly, they're using AI and others to go through social media to pull up terms from our own revolution, from our own freedom, our fighters for freedom from 13 generations ago. Don't tread on me. The phrases like that, if they get them in social media, you're already on the list to be targeted.
Exactly. Yep. That is on the list to flag somebody as an extremist. These men and women that serve to, you know, sign up to fight for our country, it's no secret that most of them have conservative values and are conservative. I think a large majority of our military is conservative, and this is the this administration's idea to silence that, to keep them from standing up and showing their support for whatever president runs on the Republican ballot.
Yeah. Okay. But that's the flip side. So they're doing a purge. They're trying to do a purge. But on the flip side, they're doing what the French revolutionaries did. They're doing what the Bolsheviks did. They're doing what the Nazis did. They're doing what Stalin did. And what definitely Mao Zedong, all the Marxists, all the criminal organizations, is then to fill that, try to purge those, but then to also force down a radical agenda. What are they trying to cram in to the heads and the spirits and the souls of our fighting forces?
Well, you can see it that they're making the critical race theory a mandatory reading, for military leaders and for the military. So they are definitely trying to cram that agenda down the military's throats, which is going to only cause more division in the military. The military is the most diverse organization that I have ever worked in or that America has. You sign up to serve our country. You don't see color. You don't see race. You don't see gender. Or you see gender, but you don't, none of that matters because you're all on the same team. The fact that they're shoving down this critical race theory down everybody's throats, that will cause more division in the military and only weaken it.
Is that coming from the top down? Is the woke field officers and general officer and Admiral Corps, are they completely woke now? It's been coming down from the civilian and from the senior military leadership?
Of course. They're either woke or they're just bending the knee for careerism so they can pick up another star. They don't care what the administration is doing to the military. They just know that they want to pick up rank. So they'll pass down whatever narrative this administration wants to do.
Senior Chief, how does the audience combat this? What would you recommend? First off, you got to read your book, Man in the Arena, to see how bad it can get, a book of heroism and patriotism. But besides that, we'll make sure you go to Amazon, you get it everywhere, we'll put it up in the live chat. How can our audience, which is an activist audience, what do you recommend they do?
What we're doing now is talking about it, put it out in the open. I think they try to do this, undercover. Of course, that's not going to work because they have incompetent investigatory bodies like NCIS doing these acts, going through and doing this scraping. But I think the more that we talk about it, the more we get the word out there, and that, you know, our active duty service members, I can tell you from my own experience, I would not even know this is going on because I'm too focused on training and going overseas to defeat evil. So the active duty service members need to know that this is what's going on. Their careers are at risk, and also the military in general is at risk.
Senior Chief, how do people follow you on social media? How do they get to your website?
Social media is Eddie Gallagher, Eddie_Gallagher, and then you can go on to theeddiegallagher.com to see everything that we have going on.
Okay, Senior Chief, thank you very much for joining us. And by the way, everybody ought to get the book. It's amazing. And thank you. Thank your wife. Thank all of the people associated with you. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thank you for having me on.
Somber day. We understand the work ahead. It's quite simple. This is a fourth turning. This is going to have to be, you're going to have to fight every day for this republic to hand it down. It is bequeathed to us. Didn't say it was going to be easy. It's going to be very, very, very tough. The tide is turning as people are becoming awakening, the great awakening, as they see what's happening at the school boards. They see what's happening in the military. You see what everybody that's trying to hide what happened in Wuhan and trying to protect the Chinese Communist Party. You see what they're trying to do on 3 November. Relentless search for the truth. Relentless, remember, data-based, evidence-based, fact-based, science-based. That's what will defeat them in a determined free citizenry. That's the War Room. Okay, short commercial break. Talk about a hammer. Natalie Winters joins us in the War Room next. Mr. Fauci's worst news is Natalie Winters is on the case. Now we're going to add Ralph Barrick to the mix down at University of North Carolina next in the War Room.